Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Coming up today, the New York area measles outbreak, what you need to know to protect yourself and your kids, why Dalton Conley takes his kids to certain adult movies and sometimes lets them curse them out. His new book is called Parentology. And our latest edition of Advice Roulette today, in which you get to ask another caller for one piece of advice about anything, but then you have to be willing to give advice to the next person. But we start today with Bridgegate. One of the biggest losers so far in the Bridgegate scandal, though you may not know his name, is Bill Stepien. He was Chris Christie's campaign manager for the original election in 2009 and the re-election last year, and he was on his way to becoming state Republican Party chairman and a consultant to the Republican Governors Association until the Bridgegate email bombshells in January that revealed his involvement, and Christie basically dumped him. This week, more emails involving Stepien have come to light, and they shed new light on what someone as close to the governor as he is or was knew about the lane closures even as they were still going on. Our Christie administration correspondent, Matt Katz, is here. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Brian.
And remind everybody who is not following every dotted I and every cross T of this, what was revealed about Stepien in January, and then tell us what's new this week.
In January, the governor said he was getting rid of Stepien because in the first batch of emails that we received, he was making disparaging remarks about local officials. And this was not the manner in which he wanted somebody so close to him to behave. So the governor had picked Stepien as the head of the state Republican Party just a week before. He had called him the best political operative in America. And he was supposed to be the governor's point man at the Republican Governors Association. The governor is the head of the Governors Association, and Stepien would have likely been the campaign manager for a Christie presidential campaign. But he didn't like the tone of his emails, so he dumped him. And we didn't really at that point have much more linking Stepien to Bridgegate. But this past week, as part of a new court filing, we found more emails with Stepien's name on it. And what's interesting is that it appears that Stepien was kept in the loop from while the lanes were being closed back in September about what was happening. He didn't really ask any questions about it, but he was told this. We got a complaint from the mayor of Fort Lee. He's very upset. He thinks there's political retaliation, and he just writes back, thanks.
In other words, these are emails going back and forth between other principals in the Bridgegate operation, and they are forwarding these emails to campaign manager Bill Stepien.
That's right. That's right. And you know, I spoke to Bill Stepien's attorney yesterday, Kevin Marino, and he said, you know, of course they were forwarding to him. This was going on in the midst of a campaign. It was becoming a news story. Of course he would want to know about it. But, you know, Stepien and the governor spoke three times a day. So Stepien is aware that the Fort Lee mayor thinks there's political retaliation going on. He's aware that the Fort Lee mayor says life and death situations are occurring in Fort Lee because of these massive traffic jams.
Even while these traffic jams are still taking place. So
That's correct.
You ask Mr. Stepien's attorney if he discussed this with the governor at that time?
We don't know if he discussed it with the governor at that time. The attorney was more trying to make the argument that there's nothing in these emails indicating that Stepien was involved in the planning or the cover-up of this situation.
Ah, so he wants to reduce his client's vulnerability to prosecution?
He wants to avoid his – he wants to keep his client from handing over his own correspondence. His Stepien is now in court to keep his correspondence private. And the Democratic legislators who are investigating this matter desperately want his emails, his texts, his calendars, because they want to know if there's a text saying, hey, Gov, those lanes are closed. We really got them. Something like that.
But Stepien's position is basically, I knew about it, but I wasn't participating in it.
That's right. And by Fifth Amendment protections against self-incrimination, I have the constitutional right not to hand over correspondence and incriminate myself.
Listeners, a rare opportunity to ask Matt Katz himself questions. You see him all over network television these days as the WNYC and New Jersey public radio person who knows so much about this scandal that he is the go-to guy, like all over the country. So you can ask Matt Katz yourself any detail regarding Bridgegate as it continues to unfold this week. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So I want to come back to the governor, because one of the central questions regarding Mr. Christie is, did he lie in that long news conference in January, and he's reaffirmed it since, his claim that he did not know about the lane closures as they were taking place. And we previously had Mr. Wildstein, one of Christie's guys at the Port Authority, asserting without presenting any evidence that Christie did know while it was taking place. And now we have what you were just describing with respect to when Bill Stepien, who you say spoke to the governor three times a day, and who is being told directly that there was a political concern by the mayor of Fort Lee, and while the governor's reelection campaign was in full swing. So all of this, you know, starts to make us ask again, is it credible that the governor did not know that the lanes were being closed while the lanes were being closed, as he asserts?
That's right. And we haven't had a chance to ask the governor about this new evidence because it's been more than 2 months since he's had a press conference. And there were more emails released this week that also lead to more questions about what the governor knew. We now know that his communication staff was well aware of the lane closures, at least right after they happened. And we have emails of them actively ignoring reporters' questions. So that means they either, this wasn't a concern for them. They didn't think it was that big of a story and it would involve the port and they blew it off, or they were avoiding answering questions because they were covering something up. And if they were avoiding answering reporters' questions and they were not covering something up, why weren't they trying to get answers? Or why weren't they running this up the chain to the governor to say, hey, listen, we keep getting reporter calls. There's like this crazy traffic jam and there's suspicion that there's some political revenge plot involved. Why weren't this increasing number of top Christie staffers letting the governor know about this while it happens?
Sandy in Short Hills, you're on WNYC with Matt Katz. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You have a question?
Yes, I do. I have a question because from the beginning of this unfolding scandal, I was kind of surprised that there were two people who were chosen to be fired by the government, by the governor. And it was Bill Stepien and Bridget Kelly. Now, Bridget Kelly obviously had involvement. Bill Stepien, no one knew. But is it possible
she,
that those
she
two
wrote
people—
again, just continuing to background everybody, she wrote that infamous email, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. Go ahead.
Right. So is it possible that those two people were fired in order to allow them to protect their documents using the Fifth Amendment?
That's a interesting theory. I don't know if they knew that they'd be able to protect their documents. I mean, we're waiting now on a judge to decide whether that's legitimate. At the time, I didn't think it would have mattered. They were using government email and personal email, but about public business on government time. So it seemed to me that all their correspondence would be public whether they were fired or not. But that certainly is plausible. I mean, now we're really getting into the territory of maybe the bigger crime, if there was a crime committed, wasn't in closing the lanes, but in the cover-up, as we've seen in the past in American political history.
Hector in Union City, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Hector.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, I believe, Mark. My
Matt,
question is,
M-A-T-T, I mean, Matt Katz. Matt, how many different television networks have you been on now on this story, or are you losing count?
All I care about is WNYC, Brian.
We've trained him well, and he hasn't even been here that long. Hector, go ahead.
So my question is that they closed the bridge for a traffic study. Very well. Okay, so what is the outcome of the supposed traffic study? Because that's never come out.
That's because the traffic study, we think, does not exist at all. There were some maps and posters of the traffic scheme that were presented to the legislature in November as part of this cover-up story. But we have not seen any actual document, and now Port Authority officials say that the traffic study doesn't exist. That actually gets us back to Bill Stepien. When a Christie appointee, Bill Baroni, testified, we now know falsely, that these lane closures were due to a traffic study, Stepien sent Baroni a message the next day saying you did a great job, and he said, I want to thank you. Now, this is interesting to me because at the time, Stepien was not actually employed by Team Christie. He was after he was the campaign. It was before he was taking his new job at the state party. So why is Stepien saying, I want to thank you? Now, there's two conclusions. One, he is acting on behalf of Team Christie. Stepien is going to be the campaign manager for the presidential campaign. This was a bad story. Baroni did a good job explaining their side of things. Or did Stepien know about it and Baroni, you know, was putting the cover out there for him and he wanted to thank him for covering things up? We don't know.
When you say the email said, I want to thank you, this came out this week. Is this the same email that compared Baroni's testimony before the legislature to beating up on Frank Lautenberg?
That's right. Frank Lautenberg had held a congressional hearing last year over toll hike increases, and Baroni went down to Washington and flipped the table on Lautenberg and started reading him his free Easy Pass trips. And they got into this big kerfuffle, and the email that Stepien wrote to Baroni after his second testimony in Trenton about the lane closures was, hey, great job yesterday. I know it's not a fun topic and not nearly as fun as beating up on Frank Lautenberg, but you did great, and I wanted to thank you.
And he said, at least you got the counter narrative out there, right?
That's actually what Baroni said.
Oh, Baroni said.
He said the Democrats may have the Democrats may have their nonsense, but at least we got the counter narrative out there. And that's interesting because Baroni at that point knows, we think, that the nonsense was actually the truth, which was the traffic study wasn't real. And the counter narrative was actually the lie. So it's hard to parse these things to understand, are they speaking entirely in code? Is one person in the dark and the other person understands the larger picture? Every bit of information that comes out lends to the larger story.
Because the word counter-narrative could mean another version of events, or it could be a euphemism for the cover-up.
Exactly.
So we can't exactly know that just from this document. Dan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, hi. I don't know if this question was asked before, but is there any video footage from the toll plaza to see who physically blocked the lanes and then maybe work backwards, like who told him and then who told him and so on?
There isn't, but at least that we haven't seen. I imagine the Port Authority keeps some video. What we do know is that the lanes were closed by the Port Authority police. And we know that the Port Authority Police Union was very close with the Christie administration. The Christie had helped, had increased their force. And we know that the union, the head of the police union, was in contact with Christie's people. And the Christie appointee who ordered the lane closures drove around the first day of the lane closures with a Port Authority police officer who happened to grow up with the Christie family in Livingston. So we do know that the lanes were closed by the cops, the Port Authority cops, and we do know that they were dealing directly with Christie appointees.
Thank you for your call, Dan. So, Matt, to step back for a minute and look at a bigger picture with respect to what this week's email revelation suggests about the governor. We now have a picture of a circle of people very close to the governor, knowing about the lane closures while they were taking place. Mr. Stepien, his campaign manager, Bridget Ann Kelly, Mr. Wildstein, and Mr. Sampson from the Port Authority, while the governor continues to assert that he himself did not know at that time. You were analyzing that before. it suggests to me at least a sophisticated campaign dirty tricks operation on Christie's behalf, that Christie is meticulously given plausible deniability about. Should the evidence at least lead us to that conclusion?
It could lead us to the conclusion that there might have been some sort of firewall between Christie and his people. So, you know, they were authorized to do what they needed to do, and he would never know about it. Now, was there authorization to do dirty things, or was there authorization to get as many, let's say, Democratic endorsements as possible, mm-hmm. which maybe may have led them to close the lanes on the Democratic Fort Lee mayor who didn't endorse him? We don't know. We know that these subpoenas are getting thousands and thousands of documents, and we've only seen a small portion of them. And actually, a little bit of news that hasn't been reported before that we can talk about this morning just confirmed that Christie's longtime secretary, her name is Rosemary Iannacone. She's been with him for 12 years since when he was a U.S. attorney. She quietly retired 2 weeks ago. And that's interesting only because she was subpoenaed. So we have another person who was close to him who's been subpoenaed who is now not working for him any longer.
What would the retirement indicate or suggest?
It might just suggest that she was 65 years old and she's a very tough work being the scheduler and the gatekeeper for the governor, and she was the last person you would see when you went into the governor's office and the first person who would knock on the door to say, time to go on to your next appointment. So it may just mean she was ready to go off in the sunset. But it has a larger implication for the governor because he's lost a lot of people close to him in his inner circle in just the last few weeks, few months. Bill Stepien, his main political guy, Rosemary Iannacone, his press secretary. His secretary. It's difficult for somebody who is looking to move on to the national stage to have a smaller and smaller number of people around him, particularly when he's so embattled like he is.
I want to mention that of our 10 lines, which are all full, four of the callers want to ask about Andrew Cuomo's potential role, or at least New York's responsibility, since the Port Authority is a bi-state agency. So let's take one of those calls. Nick in Queens. Hi, Nick. You're on WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Good morning. Good morning, Matt. Great reporting, by the way. It seems now that at least a half a dozen of Cuomo's appointees are not in compliance with residency requirements. One of them rushed to change his voting registration from Westchester to Manhattan. Now, Cuomo could be smiling in Albany watching Christie burn. But really, I mean, do you think that looking at all this, that the agency itself needs to be restructured? And if it does, can this ever be a voter referendum issue?
And what is this residency requirement? I haven't heard this before. Cuomo appointees to the Port Authority, you're saying?
All appointees, Brian, have to maintain residency within the five boroughs. And some of them have been maybe lax because they have dual residences in Westchester and Manhattan, in the case of this gentleman. But I believe there are others that aren't currently in compliance with that regulation.
Huh. Nick, thank you. Do you know that to be true? Forgive me, I don't know this detail. People who work for the Port Authority on the New York side don't – I mean, they can't just live in New York State. They have to live in New York City. Do you know that to be true?
I did not know that.
We'll have to try to confirm that.
There's a Port Authority meeting today, so maybe we can try to get some answers on that. The relationship of Cuomo and Christie in this is super interesting. I mean, Cuomo has – almost gone out of his way not to criticize or even really comment at all about all of this. And we know that they've spoken many times since this happened. Christie's talked about that. Also interesting that, Cuomo's running for re-election and Christie is the chairman of the Republican Governors Association and could, if he wanted, spend a lot of money in New York State trying to defeat Andrew Cuomo, or he could hold on to the purse strings and decide not to go up against Cuomo in this year's election.
So before you go, as this all pertains to Governor Christie's potential presidential ambitions, which, let's face it, is why this is getting the big local, national, and international scrutiny that it is, because he was seen as a front runner, if not the front runner, for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. Where it seems to me, as a matter of political analysis, that this really hurts Christie is that it's beginning to destroy his credibility as a crossover candidate. When we look at the polls in New Jersey, his Republican support is holding up pretty well. And even his independent support in a state with a lot of independents is holding up pretty well. But those many Democrats who said Christie was doing a pretty good job, which was part of the power that he was cultivating, because he had a lot of Democrats who were not inclined to like him or his style of politician or some of the things that he stands for, but they thought, hey, this is a straight shooter. This is a guy who says what he thinks and goes out and gets things done, and he's tackling hard problems. That support has started to fall off a cliff. And that's so relevant to the narrative of Christie's power as a potential presidential candidate that it seems to me that that's how it really, really hurts Christie going now toward 2016. And that could all change again, but I think that's where we are. Do you have any observation about that?
No, I think that's absolutely right on. I mean, his whole shtick about being post-partisan and beyond the sort of political fighting and nonsense is really called into question. Even if people do not believe he did anything criminal here or is involved in anything criminal here, they see that at least people who worked for him were involved and that it took a long time for him to kind of explain what was happening. And that is certainly going to hurt him amongst independent and Democratic voters.
And that they were playing very hardball against Democrats as he was giving Barack Obama a public hug and things like that that are more emblematic of what he was supposed to be creating as an image for himself.
That's right. I mean, he will potentially be able to fall back on the fact that when this first broke, he held a two-hour press conference and answered every question in the room. And even conservatives have started to say, well, Hillary didn't answer every question about Benghazi. She hasn't really answered one question about Benghazi. And he might be able to, if nothing hits him on this, and if there's no criminal charges, he may be able to say, listen, I found out what had happened. I took decisive action. I got rid of four people, and I answered every question at a two-hour press conference. I am the straight shooter you always expected me to be.
Matt Gaetz covers the Christie administration for WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. You can see more of his reporting and hear more of his reporting on our website, wnyc.org. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a new WNYC series, an online data project, shows where traffic fatalities are occurring in New York City this year and what that geography can teach us about prevention. Stay with us.